Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the Hosted Shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest and click on the Register to be a Guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. If you want to call into the show with a question or brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363 and press option 1 to connect with the producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg, at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can tweet me at alansimberg@alansimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being sponsored by Standard Process. Standard Process is a whole food supplement company. They have a farm in Wisconsin where they grow organic vegetables, and the bulk of their supplements are composed of organically grown vegetables. And that is the reason why their supplements are referred to as whole food supplements. Whole food supplements basically means that all the factors, known and unknown, to all the different fruits and vegetables are included in the supplements. When you buy a supplement in a health food store or in a pharmacy, most of them, that means probably about 95% of them, do not have food in them. They are primarily composed of chemicals. The problem with that is your body doesn't really know what to do with it because it doesn't have all the nutrients necessary to help your body to be healthy. So then you might be thinking to yourself, well, if vitamins don't help, how come sometimes when I take them, and I know other people that take them, how come they feel better? Well, the answer to that is really quite simple. Basically, when you eat food, you have the nutrients, depending on the quality of food, that you need to either maintain or to obtain a healthy body. When you take the synthetic supplements, your body basically, in a certain sense, has to contribute the nutrients to the vitamins, so they contribute the nutrients that are missing in the vitamins, so that they can work most effectively in your body. So then the next question comes up, well, if that happens, why do I need to take a whole food supplement? Well, the reason for that is that over time, if you do not maintain a high-quality food intake, which would include a very high percentage of vegetables and salads, and this does not mean you have to be vegetarian, eventually your body will become depleted of the very nutrients that you need. And that is why there have been certain studies published in past years that claim that the supplements that you're taking actually result in your getting the very thing, the so-called disease, that you're looking to avoid or that you're looking to heal. So put quite simply, there are certain supplement companies that do include some food in their supplements. However, the standard process criteria is they use organically grown vegetables, and that is what the supplement is primarily composed of. So quite obviously, I highly recommend the standard process products, and it's also important for you to know that the only way to get them is to trained health professionals. They are not ordinarily sold in stores. So if you have any questions about standard process products or any of the health-related issues that you may be facing, any nutritional ideas that you would like to have to help build your body from a nutritional point of view, feel free to contact me. You can either email me at alan@alansimberg.com, or you can call me or text me at 281-785-0660. Before I introduce my first guest, I want to finish up the information that I had started talking with all of you about last week, in last week's show, and it basically has to do with personality disorders. And as a very quick review of what we talked about last week, it's important to understand that personality disorders basically are a condition that indicate that you have a characteristic, consistent way of interacting and relating to the world, which basically means the way you relate to other people and the way you think. The way that classification is currently set up, there are three clusters. They call the first cluster Cluster A, and that has to do with any personality disorder that is considered odd or eccentric, or a personality disorder that has odd or eccentric behavior. One of the examples that I gave last week was paranoid personality disorder. The Cluster B classification has to do with dramatic or erratic behavior. And the example we gave, or that I gave last week, was histrionic or hysterical personality disorder. The third personality disorder, Cluster C, or the third classification of personality disorders, has to do with anxious or inhibited behavior. And the example that I gave last week was avoidant personality. Now, what I would like to let you know about this week, some of the consequences of having a personality disorder. People with personality disorder are at high risk of behaviors that can lead to physical illness, such as either alcohol or drug addiction, self-destructive behavior, reckless sexual behavior, complaints about physical health that are not really founded. In other words, a doctor cannot really identify any physical problem or physical basis for your complaint. They may have either inconsistent, detached, over-emotional, abusive, or irresponsible styles of parenting, which can lead to medical and psychiatric problems in their children. They're vulnerable to experiencing difficulty performing even routine mental tasks during their periods of distress. They can develop other mental disorders, for example, anxiety or depression. And they are also less likely to follow a prescribed treatment regimen. Even when they follow the regimen, they're usually less responsive to drugs than most people are. So the next thing to be aware of is how personality disorders are treated. So basically, the main focus is to help the person to understand how the way they think and how the way they interact with other people can be contributing to problems that they could be having. So the types of psychotherapy that are generally used and approved of for working with personality disorders is either cognitive behavioral therapy, group therapy, or family therapy. Also, if the situation is serious enough, it can warrant hospitalization. And as you can well guess, there probably are also, well, let me see, how can I say this to you? There are medications that are prescribed. My belief is that maybe short-term medications are needed, or short-term use of medications for people that are having a significant difficulty in relating and in living their daily lives. But the medication is not a treatment. It basically is something that's used to treat the symptom. So basically what's really needed is the psychotherapy, perhaps short-term medication, and something that I have found to be quite effective in helping people to work through their personality disorders, to actually improve the way they relate to others in the world, is to make sure that they are utilizing sound nutrition. My theoretical understanding of that is when blood sugar does not stay within the proper range, the hormones do not stay within the proper range, and that can affect the emotional state of people and even the way they relate to others. We're going to go to commercial break now, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my first guest.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My first guest today is Brenda Trott. Brenda trains small businesses and is a marketing strategist who is locally known as the Make Money in Your Sleep Girl. She has authored several how-to media marketing books and was nominated the Best Social Media Strategist in Houston. Brenda has been a hosted speaker on ABC News Radio and other media venues to offer her expertise on the ever-changing world of social media. She founded Done For You Media to help them stop fishing for clients and attract their ideal clients instead. Brenda offers classes, teleseminars, and workshops. She has authored several books, including Facebook Marketing with Facebook Graph, and her upcoming book, How to Profit with Passion and Attract Your Ideal Client. And now let's learn more about Brenda. Hello, Brenda, and welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. As a way of helping the listening audience have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today.
Wow. Okay. I'm often asked where I'm from, and I say I'm from the USA. I wasn't an Army brat, but I sure have moved around a lot. I grew up a Bears, Chicago Bears fan in the town of Chicago, and from there, in my early adult life, moved to the very cold state of Montana. Lived there for about 10 years, and through some other things, I've spent about 3 in Nevada until I finally found Texas. And I've been here about 7 or 8 years now. I lose track when it's nice warm and sunny. You asked how that had to do with that had to do. Oh, by the way, I have been blacklisted by my family because I am no longer a loyal Bears fan. I think the Texans are way too entertaining to do that. and they have the same colors and everything, but so that's okay. I didn't have to change any of the memorabilia. As far as how does that lead into what I do now, that's I grew up in, I guess, the tail end of what they called the space age, and everyone thought that technology was so incredible, and we sent someone to the moon, and we had absolutely no idea what was coming down the pipe. Back then, when we had those little things that you could find your mom when you found that cord that wrapped around everywhere and it ended up in a room, you knew your mom was on the other end of that thing called a telephone. And now we can locate each other, we can find our kids, we can interact with family miles and miles away just by holding this small device in our hands, which we've been told is going to move to our watch and even maybe just something as small as a shoelace. So growing up around all the new technology changes has certainly had an impact. And then I guess I hadn't ever thought about it, but, you know, listening to what you said earlier, just the fact that I've moved so many times, that had a lot to do, I think, even now in the terms of technology, when you move out of the proximity of your friends and away from the proximity of family, the dynamics around you really seem to change, and your inner self seems to change, and you have to find venues on how to reconnect. And everything that I do has to do with connections of people, and I think that any business professional understands that any business you're in is not only the business of marketing, but it's in the business of building relationships with people. And that's what I help them do.
And, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about what you've been saying is that different people can have a very similar experience, but their life can go in a different direction. And I'm not saying that it just happens. You know, obviously we make some choices to make that happen. But, you know, it certainly sounds like from everything that you said that the idea of technology and communication and kind of just, at least in the very beginning, what seemed like a mystery really intrigued you and really led you in the direction that you're in today.
Intrigue, maybe. I think, though, there was more of an excitement that, well, let me give you an example. My brother, I think he actually went to college for media marketing and that kind of thing. And he'd always send me these things, like, join MySpace, join this. And I got to a point where I was like, I have nothing to do with Facebook. I don't need to know anything about Facebook. It's a waste of my time. I've got other things to do. Well, then I find out that Yayay, my grandmother, is on Facebook. And Yayay is sharing pictures and Yayay is watching things. Her great-grandchildren are here in Texas, and she's back in Chicago. Well, you better believe I'm going to join. It has to do with the connection. So as intriguing as it may have been and really, you know, kind of cool and awesome, and everybody wanted that, although I think the most popular thing in high school was the Rubik's Cube, which had no technology at all, I think it's more about the needs that it met for somebody who lived miles away from their immediate family. That's, I think, what really engaged me with social media.
Now, for people in the listening audience that are not all that familiar with, let's say, all the different offerings that social media has, when you refer to social media, in addition to Facebook, what other sites or what other areas are you including?
Wow. I think that's actually a two-part question. Because,
okay.
You said what are, and I'll tell you one I just can't answer. You know, what does social media include? There are so many platforms out there that if somebody told you they knew everything about every one of them, that they would have to be a machine. Then when I tell my business, my business clients, they want to know where to go. You really have to find out where they already are. Where are your favorite customers already at? Because I usually start people off at Facebook because the number was 90%, this was a year ago, 90% of people who are online have a Facebook account. So the chance that your client is going to be on Facebook is pretty grand. Now, the other thing you said is, you know, what else am I including? Not all media that's available today to business owners or to even the individual is social or considered social media. There's a media platforms are out there. You know, let's go back to when you're asking me when I grew up. When I grew up, we had color television was pretty new in the house. I'm dating myself a while here. We had the CB radios. We had, but that wasn't real commercialized. That was just, you know, this is who's coming through town. Let's meet new people. Let's find out where the bandits, where the Skokies at. We had the regular band radio. I think, let's see, we had regular, the other kind of media we had were record players, phonographs, I think, were the year before, you know, generation before me, and then these were actually needled record players, okay? So I'm kind of giving you an idea of what was out there, eight-track tapes, and then as I grew up, we had, you know, the Beta and the VHS and all of that, so technology was kind of growing. Every single one of those is a media platform. Not really any of those are considered a social media platform because you can't interact with them. As time went on, we had the internet and we had forums. Okay, they were not real time. You could post something on a forum. It was kind of like placing an ad in a newspaper. Somebody could go on there and respond to that ad without calling you on the phone and that kind of thing. But that was a little bit closer to social. Today, social is where you can comment on things, you can interact with things, and it's usually in live time. Those types of things, the biggest ones that are available are obviously the big ones are Facebook, Twitter. Right now the kids are into Instagram. Those are all things where you can post photos, you can post videos and these kinds of things where people can react to them. And as they react to them, that kind of snowballs and you get reactions on the reactions. YouTube is not only a social media platform, but it's one of the greatest search engines in the world. A search engine is something that somebody types something in and they're looking for information. Most of us understand Google and Bing as being search engines. But, like I said, YouTube and even Amazon are considered search engines. So people can type things in when they're looking for something and then get back information. So YouTube is like television was in the 70s, only there's way bigger class of channels. And people know what they want to find, and they can get it on demand. So if they're looking for how to make that great cake recipe, or they want to know which nutritional supplement is best for this, they can actually start at the YouTube search engine and look for it. So media isn't always social media, forms that are available today, but the best forms of media that are available, the ones that get you found even faster, have a social element in them.
So I just want to make sure that I'm understanding your distinction. Technically, are you saying that social media is a platform which you can interact with others? Other media sites, like, for example, you mentioned YouTube, you don't necessarily interact with anybody, but you can get information.
Well, actually, no, that's not right, because YouTube is a media platform. But because of the integrated comments on YouTube, it is considered a social media platform. Because if you put up a YouTube video and you explained the three different types of supplements that were most important to us, I could go on there through my Google Plus account, which is another form of social media, but it's kind of like the old forums kind of thing, but I could go on there and post a comment or even ask a question and say, well, is this what you meant by this? And you could come back and answer that. Three more people can give their opinions. So now you've taken a platform that could be, you know, in the old days, we'd watch a television commercial and that's it. But today we watch that television commercial, and then we ask questions about it, we interact about it, we share it with our friends, we post it on Facebook, we post it on Twitter. And this now becomes very social and global.
So would you consider LinkedIn a social media platform?
Absolutely. But absolutely, there's definitely ways to make comments and that kind of thing. In the social media dating guide, I kind of explain the difference between Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So if you were, let's just say they're all different ways to meet your prospective soulmate, okay, or a client soulmate, right, their best customer. Twitter's kind of like speed dating. You have so many characters to get your message out and entice somebody to come back and find out more. You know, so many characters. The grocery store, right? Everybody has to eat. So most everybody's, but you have to, if you want to find, you know, that perfect someone, you have to go into that, you know, if you're going to eat Whole Foods, you want to go into that Whole Foods aisle of the grocery store or the natural supplements aisle. If you're somebody who likes to go to a lot of wine tasting, you might find your soulmate over in the wine aisle. So on Facebook, you're going to find those groups where people are interacting a little bit more intimately, and they're talking about the same subject. And that's where you're going to find your business mate there. Now, LinkedIn is more of the after-hours event at your local chamber or a wonderful Tony Gambone event. Where you come in and you're a little more polished, you're dressed more professionally, you're not exactly letting your hair down in these areas, you're being very connected, and you're introducing people to people that might work with them. So it's very much a networking type of social platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that's really a great distinction that you just made. We have a few minutes left in the interview, so I'd like to talk with you some about your book. Now, I'm not sure if I had the most up-to-date information. In the introduction, I said your upcoming book. I don't know if it's been published yet or not, How to Profit with Passion and Attract Your Ideal Client.
Yes, that is still upcoming. It should be available by the end of the month, both in paperback and as a Kindle version. It's the first in a series of attraction marketing. And finding your passion to profit with is a little bit different than the rest of the books in the series. And the idea is that when you can find your passion, what you're passionate about, and you can infuse that into the rest of your life, you're going to start attracting those things. So the biggest, one of the huge things that happens with entrepreneurs is that we're human and. Well, I'm trying to go into two different things, but what happens is that most of the time, many times I'll just say, that as an entrepreneur, we want to put out fires. We want to make all of our customers happy at one time. And so we kind of end up not focusing on the ones who are already happy, the ones that are already, you know, tooting our horns for us, right? They're always saying, you're awesome and we love you. We tend to, like, not pay attention to them, and instead we try to put out those fires. But what happens is when we continuously work on the people to put out, you know, those problems, we end up attracting more of those problems. Every action that we do ends up attracting more people like that, where we should be focusing on the people we know and we love to work with, the ones that we really want to help. And, of course, there's other passions. How do we want to change the world? What do we want to do that's going to really affect change? And I talk about anti-passions in there, too. You know, what really torques us off? What's happening in the world that we want to change as well? Or what are those things that make us angry, and how do we fix those? So can we infuse those? There's two parts of the book, and one is to actually come up with, and I've worked with people with PhDs and other advanced degrees, and they're at a point in their life where they want to start something new, they want to be an entrepreneur, they want to do this, and they don't even know where to start. They've got tons of skills and lots of passion, but they just don't know how to put it together. So there's a part of the book that does that, and then the other part is to, if you're already in business, how to find that part that you're really passionate about and infuse that into your business. Because when you are passionate about something, I heard a quote the other day, nobody is repelled by excitement. So if you're excited about something, then you know you're going to go out there and people are just going to be naturally drawn to you and want to find out what that passion is, what you're excited about. Whereas if you're, you know, just the guy who's out there ready to go out and push information on or say, you know, are you covered by life insurance, or, you know, this bad thing's going to happen to you if you're not, you're going to have a harder time getting to know and connecting with people. But when you're passionate about something, you automatically want to share all of the the coolness, right, that's around it. We'll talk about technology. You just have this thing about you that radiates, and people want to be connected with you because you're sharing valuable things with them. And so that's what the book's about, is finding that passion and helping you infuse.
Okay. Now, I mentioned to you that we were coming towards the end of the interview, but I really don't want to end it at this point. So do you have some time to stay with me, and after we come back from commercial, we can continue with what you were just saying?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. So we're going to go to commercial break, but before we do, I just want to mention that this previous segment of the show was brought to you by Standard Process, and Standard Process is a company that has a farm that grows organic vegetables in Wisconsin, and they produce what's called whole food supplements. If you have any questions about that, feel free to call or text me during the week. My phone number is 281-785-0660, or you can email me at alan@alansimberg.com. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Brenda.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg. I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. Before we went to commercial break, I was speaking with Brenda Trott. And Brenda trains small businesses and is a marketing strategist who is locally known as Make Money in Your Sleep Girl. She's authored several how-to-media marketing books. And what we were talking about just before commercial break was her book that is about to be coming out the end of this month. And the title of that book is How to Profit with Passion and Attract Your Ideal Client. And, Brenda, as we were talking before we went to commercial break, you were talking about the two different aspects of your book. One was addressing people, or that would help to address people that didn't quite know where to start. You know, maybe they were doing something at a certain point in life and they really wanted to change. Actually, I confused that a little bit. I'm going to go backwards. It was for people that didn't know where to start in terms of identifying their passion. And then the other part of the book really helps people who are in business but really don't feel that passion for their business, and they want to find that passion somehow.
Yeah, and I guess you weren't quite far off the first time you said it either, because they usually come to me. And the, you know, people with advanced degrees will come to me and say, I just don't know what to do next. You know, I'm known as a Make Money in Your Sleep Girl, so they know that I kind of help them put something together that will generate an income, usually a recurring income, after doing it once, and then it comes back to them. And so they want to find something like that. And whether they know it or not, that's how we start, is we find out their passions. I have a series of questions. One of them is very much what you threw on me, and I didn't expect it when you very first said, you know, where did you grow up? I'm asking them, what was it that you wanted to be when you were, you know, 3, 4, 5, even up to 8 years old? Because when you're young like that, we don't have the filters that we do when we're older. So what was it that when you were really young, what is it that you were really excited about doing? Did you really want to grow up and be a fireman, or was there something else that, you know, really excited you? We start from there, and then we move forward into things that, you know, the hobbies that they've had and the skills that they've used and what best, how they best liked to use those skills, and then what they didn't like about it. And of course, like I said, we go into those anti-passions. What is it that really gets you so upset and maybe even angry? That and why does it get you angry? Because it's passionate. That's a different kind of passion. So maybe we can do something about it. If you're passionate about changing the world somehow, we can infuse that in, with your skills and everything else, and we can come up with a game plan and help you decide what you want to do next in life.
You know, actually, it sounds like that approach that you just described can be very, very helpful, because, you know, some people might work in that area by saying, so what do you want to do? And obviously, if the person is stumped, they're not going to have very much of an answer. But by exploring what excites them and exploring, which may be want of a better way of saying this, exploring what might tend to reduce that excitement, it really helps to put you in a direction of certain kinds of work where those characteristics would be most prevalent.
Exactly.
And I would also suspect, and I want to see if this has been your experience, when you talk with people that way, have you noticed that maybe in the beginning, maybe they're feeling kind of subdued, maybe not a lot of emotion, but as you ask the questions that you do, that they start to get a sense of maybe excitement or hopefulness, or they start to somehow communicate to you that they're starting to feel some hope where maybe they didn't have any when they first started talking with you?
You know, every person is different, and that definitely would describe some. Quite often they'll come to me a little bit overwhelmed. They know that they have all this education behind them. They're definitely they're overwhelmed, not necessarily with choices, but they have absolutely no idea where to go next. And maybe there is a little bit of a fear or hopelessness involved in that. Once we get started, though, it's kind of funny. It's not during the process that they get excited. It's almost like I tend to get them even more overwhelmed because I'm asking them a series of questions that to them feels like they're completely unrelated answers. Like, I'm all over the place. I don't know what to do. One example was a young lady who, well, to us, she's a young lady who, she had a PhD. Her PhD was in communications. She'd worked in the corporate field. She wanted to be a journalist when she grew up. She kind of played around with video equipment, but, you know, kind of as a hobby, but not even close to what she wanted to do with it. And she just felt like every single answer that she gave me was just completely unrelated. But we came up with a plan, and now she's actually going to be working with corporations by developing a curriculum, which is another thing that she, a skill that she had, was developing curriculum for corporations to help with tolerance in the workplace, because her anti-passion was the way she, I won't use the word she did, but basically we're talking about ignorance. People she felt were ignorant in the other people's skin colors and backgrounds and life choices, and she thought that that was just horrific, and it would even be people that were close to her that felt that way. So she wanted to develop a curriculum to help alleviate that in the corporation, and then we would market that. But in order to make that happen, she needed to have buy-in from middle management. So we brainstormed how she could get the buy-in. Well, she could use her journalism journalistic skills to go and find people of these diverse backgrounds that were, in fact, had difficulties in the workplace, maybe bullied for because of all those different reasons that we talked about, yet made significant contributions to their employer or their business despite the bullying. And so she's going to be using those journalistic skills to then graft that into her curriculum. So everything sounds at first like they're unrelated, but when you put them together, it comes into a nice whole unit, and it gives them a step-by-step game plan. This is what I get to do next. And it all starts with their passion.
Now, generally, I have a guess of what you're going to say, but I'm not going to assume the answer. Generally, do you find that at least some aspects of what people identify as being their so-called anti-passion, that that really helps to focus in on what they really want to do?
Absolutely. And I have to say, I do that myself all the time. So many times we're asked, like you had mentioned before, people are like, well, what do you want to do in life? Well, sometimes it's just easier to say what you don't want to do or what you don't like. What color do you want to wear? What dress? I hate that dress. I don't like those pants. You know, so it's just a process of elimination. So absolutely, that can help in every way. But it's the passionate one that I'm after, because especially Gen Yers, the new and upcoming kids, the generations, they're people who want to change the world, and so finding that anti-passion is actually like helping them identify the changes that they're going to go after.
Mm-hmm. And then the passion is maybe the primary vehicle that would help them to do that.
Yeah, what gets them excited about life? What do they get excited to get up and running and do? And it can be just, you know, a physical, you know, they could just love to be an outdoors person. They could just love to, you know, to do that kind of thing. They can love, I love babies. I love babies and their feet, you know. I love to teach parents about things. But my real passion is the small business owner. And what my anti-passion is what really makes me mad is how many of them fold and how quickly that happens. You know, people get excited. I think the lifeblood of America lies not on the not on jobs and not on corporations, and people can write in and tell them how horrible of a person I am because I don't think we need more jobs. I think we need more people to know what they want to do in this world and go out and do it. And so my passion is to help business owners, and that's really, you're asking me, like, how did it develop from my youth? I'm not exactly sure how I came up with that because I don't come from a family of entrepreneurs, but I believe that they're what makes this country go. I can tell you that I've had people in my family that, you know, the older generations, they've worked for the same company 30, 50 years, got their gold watch at the end, and were messed right over by that corporation. So maybe it had to do with that I ended up in a place where I am. But if I went through the process myself, I told you my passion is that small business person, and my anti-passion is, you know, I'm close to now.
Sometimes I think we choose to do things based on specific experiences that we have. And sometimes maybe there's a little bit more of an emphasis or what the driving motivation might be is either the kind of person that you are or your bigger vision. And that sounds to be a lot like, you know, it sounds like one of your underlying motivators is to make a positive change for people. And then it was a question of identifying the focus and how you wanted to do that.
Exactly. And when if I were going through my process again, like I said, we were talking about skills and hobbies. We already know how I felt about Facebook. It's kind of ironic that happened. But
yeah.
Getting to know it and then being able to relate it to small business, same as all the other channels. And in high school, I was in the journalistic field as well. So bringing it all back in into play, I always wanted to be a writer. I always wanted to be in short stories. I help small businesses build that platform because today's world is so much different than in the past. We were talking about the old record players, right? Back then, if you wanted to publish a book, you had to go through how many letters of decline. Then if you really wanted to self-publish your book, then you had to invest thousands and thousands of dollars, buy your books in advance. basement or your garage until you could get rid of them or peddle them off. Today's world is so much easier than that, and I love to help small business owners figure that out, get their stuff done, and get their message out to the world.
Now, would you say that there's any difference at all in the way you work with people who are trying to figure out where to start as opposed to when you work with people who are already in a business but they just want to find their passion in that business?
Definitely. It's going to be the same process and the same questions, but then it gets really intricate when you're thinking, okay, what would I end up doing, depending on the size of the business, how long they've been in it. Sometimes I've had them come to me and say, I'm just ready to let go of it. And when they're really ready to go through this process, what we can end up finding is that if we can find the one thing that maybe even helped them, like, why did you even start this? How did you end up here? What was it about this business that you wanted to do? And we can magnify that and then find out what is the one thing that you absolutely hate about your business. What is it that you cannot stand? What is just making it so that you don't want to begin your day in your business? And we find a way to outsource that over. Do we hire somebody? Do we just hire a company? It doesn't even have to be that you have to go on to the agony of hiring an employee and all of that. It might just be something that we can tweak and find out who can take care of that task in your business. And it might be another business owner. So, and there's, you know, joint ventures that you can do. But once you can come about and just bring yourself to just really enjoy it again, then all of a sudden it's like that weight is just lifted off your shoulders. And like I said, you start attracting the things that you enjoy most again.
So in a sense, what I'm hearing you say is that what you do with those people is that you help them to become reawakened to their passion. And then you find ways to refuel it and maybe even identify some modifications in the direction they may take.
Exactly. Because without changing something, you're just going to be doing the same thing. It's one thing to find out, oh, yes, I'm in this business for this reason. But if it got so buried that you couldn't remember, then there's a reason for that, and that's because you're not spending your time doing that. And what probably happens, what often is the case, is like what I said before, you spend so much time trying to put out all the little problems in your business that you forget to go back to the celebrations and you forget to work with the people that you want to work with the most. There's something called an avatar. You're in radio. I don't know if you use it anymore, but you think about who your listener is. It's where it started, I believe. And you cut out a little picture in a magazine. That's that person, right, that's listening. Well, I tell people to choose their avatar. Who's your favorite customer? Who do you just love working with every single day? Where do they hang out on social media? This should be a real person. You don't have to think about it. Where do they hang out on social media? What kind of car do they drive? All that kind of stuff. When you know that you're talking to one person, all of your media, this is kind of getting off track, but all of your focus and all of the things that you do are going to be relating to that one person. But it's the same thing in finding your passion. If you know who you want to work with and you find ways in your business to spend more time with them and people like them, then all the other stuff is going to fall into place and it's going to realign, and you're going to find ways to bring that 80% of your passion up, right? And the rest of it can be more workable. And suddenly your business is just taking a whole new direction.
And, you know, I could understand how maybe for some people it might seem like magic, but there really is an underlying logic to it. We're pretty much at the end of the interview, but before we end, I want to give you the opportunity to give the listening audience your contact information, including your website. And I also want to talk with you a little bit about some giveaways that you have.
Okay. They can definitely find my... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Done For You Media, that's Done, D-O-N-E, the number 4, the letter U, media.com. And my phone number is all over there, 713-900-5090. And they can also Google my name on Amazon, lots of books there. And you're going to have to remind me. I have some giveaways. I don't remember which one today.
I'll tell you what they are, and you tell me whether we want to eliminate them or not, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay. One was why every business owner should write a book.
Yes. Okay. There are 10 reasons every business owner should write a book. And I think if you find me on LinkedIn, easy, it's just linkedin.com/in/Brenda Trott, 2 T's at the end. You can find that on my LinkedIn page. And then you're probably going to tell me the Busy Entrepreneur's Guide to Getting Found Online. You can find that at 1040media.com. Was there another one?
No. The only other thing that I have for you is some of your workshops. How to build your avatar, which is your ideal client. Also, social media dating guide for small business workshop. Facebook marketing for small business. And then you have a little star that says, this one has an affiliate program.
Oh, okay. Which one is that one?
Yeah, so I think we pretty much covered everything. Is there anything else that you would like the listening audience to know before we end your interview today?
Actually, if there's somebody out there who shares the passion of the small business owner like I do and just wants to do everything they can to keep them in business, I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I'm always looking for sponsors for these marketing classes that I offer so that we can keep them at a reasonable price and invite people in. If you are a small business owner and you're interested in taking any of my classes, please reach out to me through my website, give me a call, or there is actually one of them online right now, which is the Facebook marketing for small business. And they can take it self-study if they don't want to come to a workshop.
Oh, great. Well, Brent, I want to thank you for being a guest today, and you know, I really feel that the information that we discussed and letting people know what you do is going to be very valuable for a lot of people.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Alan Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Simberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Simberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Alan at alansimberg.com. Let Dr. Alan Simberg help to enhance your life through effective therapies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. Before I give my Life Changing Insight tip of the week, I want to share something with all of you that I'm really excited about. Several months ago, I was asked to contribute a chapter to a compilation book. And for those of you that are not familiar with what a compilation book is, it's basically a book that contains chapters from several different authors. And I certainly accepted the invitation, and I contributed the chapter. And the name of the book is Share Your Message with the World. And one of the things that I want to tell you about this book is that there are many, many excellent authors in this book. I have met several of them personally. And just briefly to tell you what the chapters are about is each author shares what contributed to what they're doing today, how what they did, what their passion was, whatever it was, what it contributed to their doing today. And several of the chapters also include lessons. They're kind of just kind of tips and guides on what you can do to help to improve your life. If you have any interest in that, please give me a call at 281-785-0660, or you can email me at alan@alansimberg.com. The launch date for the book is July 18th. If you have any interest in purchasing the book, please let me know. I will request your email, and the day of the launch, I will email you, because what we're going to be doing on the day of the launch, which is really very typical, is we're going to be asking people to buy the book, or perhaps another way of saying that, is offering people the opportunity to purchase the book. And basically what that will do is that can help that book to become a number one bestseller. Again, if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about on the show or anything about the book, please feel free to contact me during the week. And now for my life-changing insight tip of the week, I want to explain to you how scars, they can be scars from surgeries or scars from some sort of an accident, how they can affect your physical and mental health, and what can be done to help heal the scars. Your skin is the primary messenger of all the electrical impulses throughout your entire body. Another way of saying that is your skin carries messages from one part of your body to the other, pretty much influencing what your body does and does not do in response to stimulation or stimuli. When you have a scar, those messages get stored up in the scar. They collect in the scar. And then when it becomes too many messages within that scar, when too many collect in that area, they disperse in an erratic fashion, which your body is not able to interpret. And the result of that, believe it or not, can be either physical and or emotional distress. Clearly, what needs to be done is the scar needs to be healed. One of the things that you can do to heal those scars is to put coconut oil on them. Coconut oil has to be organic, cold-pressed, and extra virgin. Other oils that can be used, but I have to caution, they have to be very high quality oils, and I'm not sure of any other companies other than Standard Process that produce this quality of oil, which basically means I can't tell you about any other companies. I'm not saying there aren't any other companies, but basically what we use, meaning the people that use the Standard Process products, are either wheat germ oil or sesame seed oil. And by putting that oil at least two or three times, just a little bit, on that scar every day, that scar can heal. And if you have a large scar, it can even help to make the scar become decreased in appearance. So that's pretty much it for my life-changing insight tip of the week. And we're at the end of the show. So I want to thank you all for listening in. I want to welcome you all back, or invite you all back, to next week's show, which is next Tuesday from 3 to 4. That's Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg. I hope you all have a great day and a wonderful week. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.